99% of people in this world find much of their security in money. But what happens when wealth fails us? Today on the program, I'm joined by a man who's had a couple of serious wake-up calls when it comes to money. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome to the program today as we kick off a new series of messages called Financially Secure with my special guest, Rick Dunham. And do stick with me, because at the end of today's message, I'll be telling you about our newest life application booklet, Money Matters. I'd love to send you a free copy to help you make sure that your wealth is a faithful servant rather than a brutal master. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking on the program about money. Well, not so much money, but our attitude towards money. It's a subject that's dear to our hearts. Most of us feel that we could use more of it, that's for sure. There never seems to be quite enough to buy all the things we want to buy and to do all the things we want to do, and, well, you know the rest of the story. But as we've seen, as we've looked at this subject from, dare I say it, a different perspective, God has an awful lot to say about our attitudes towards money. And if you're able to join us over these last few weeks, my prayer is that you've really wrapped your heart around the freedom that God wants for us when it comes to this whole money thing. A profound freedom from the tyranny of wealth that so many people sacrifice their lives to. Now, much of what I've learned about God's perspective on money has come through a man called Rick Dunham. Rick's an American, lives in Dallas, and he and I have had the opportunity over the last, well, I guess 4 years or so, to work together. So I'm excited to share with you that on one of his many visits to Oz, I've been able to collar him and get him here in the studio. He's going to be my special guest on the program this week and next, and I really want to take the opportunity to pick his brains and listen to his heart. Rick, welcome to the program.
Thanks. It's really good to be here.
Now, you've just finished writing a book on this whole subject of money. Tell us a bit about that. Why have you written that?
That's a great question. As we look at our world today, especially with the global financial crisis and the fact that so many have lost so much so quickly, it obviously begs a question of, can we really rely on money to provide the security that really only God can provide? So, yeah, I've obviously been working in this arena for 30 years and have spent time looking at the Bible, trying to figure out, being a bit of a theologian with a theology degree, trying to figure out how this whole relationship of money and our faith fit together. So that's really what this book is about, to try to help people sort that through.
Okay. Now, tell us what you do for a living.
I have a company that works globally with Christian organizations, helping them raise money. We work in America as well as Canada, here in Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, the UK, continental Europe. Again, working with organizations, helping them to develop the finances they need to fulfill God's call on their ministry.
Now, fairly obviously, you're an American, and for most of us from countries other than the US, we look at the US as the wealthiest country in the world by far. I mean, California is the eighth biggest economy in the world, right?
Right.
Many of us, I guess, have seen some spectacular financial excesses of some American televangelists, and we remember how some of them have fallen. So I guess what I'm trying to say to the rest of the world, an American talking about money is a bit like Greek bearing gifts. Beware. So to put you right on the spot here, why should anyone even bother to listen to you?
I don't know if they should, no. Actually, it's because I come from the very nexus of where money is the biggest problem.
Right.
And where I look at the church today, and it's very easy to draw these universal statements, which are not categorically true across the board with every single Christian. But for the most part, the church in America has been lulled into a false consumerism and materialism without really even understanding it. This false belief that money can provide their security, reaching for the American dream. And as I've stood back and observed not only the church, but even my own life, I've come to realize that we've got it wrong. And we've got it wrong in a very massive way. And part of the reason for the book is to hopefully, by God's grace, try to wake the church up. They've been duped. They've been duped by the evil into believe that that money is the source of their security, but it is not.
Now, a few years ago, you had a bit of a wake-up call when it comes to money. Tell us what was going on way back then.
Yeah, back in 1981, young, right out of seminary with a brand spanking new theological degree, working in a new ministry and thinking I had the world by the tail. And within 10 months, I had been let go from that position. had two house payments, a third child had just been born, and there was no possible way that we were going to make ends meet. So yeah, my wife and I decided we probably needed to declare bankruptcy. We tried everything you could possibly imagine, to sell our house, to trade our house, to do anything, but we just couldn't get it done. So by God's grace, some family stepped in and helped us through that period of time, but it put us into a position where every foundational sense of security, especially material security, had been completely stripped away. And it took us on about a 5-7 year odyssey that God really taught me a lot.
How did that feel? I mean, you've got two kids, a third on the way, you can't make your mortgage payments. How does a guy feel when that happens?
I think if you were to look up failure in the dictionary at that point, my picture would have been right next to the word.
Yeah.
I mean, a complete and utter failure. I had created one of the most significant disasters you could possibly imagine for a family. And, man, I didn't have a clue how I was going to get out of it.
Back then, how would you have described your attitudes toward money and wealth?
Yeah, the if I could just have so much money, certain amount of money, I could be secure and fine. But as we all know, the moment we get any more money, it seems like all the expenses increase and probably increase beyond what we just the raise we received or the amount of money we were able to make. It was the traditional belief that the more money I could have, the more secure I would be.
Yeah.
And God was about to teach me something quite different.
I was going to say, can you see God's hand? I mean, it mustn't have been a lot of fun at the time, but looking back on it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the things in our lives that often we'll look back at and go, man, I would never, ever choose to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But now looking back, I would never choose not to have gone through it.
And how did that experience change your attitude towards money and wealth?
Well, actually, that particular experience was just the start of a 2.5-decade journey that, yeah, culminated a few years ago when God really got my attention in a whole new way around this issue, where he was beginning to put the pieces of the puzzle on the table. And in doing so was helping me build this puzzle so that I could begin to see the picture that he wanted me to see about the role money can play in our lives that can be so devastating to our spiritual walk.
And that brings me to your passion in this book. If you had to put it together in a couple of sentences, the executive summary, what's the heart of this new book? What, by the way, what's it called?
Financially Secure.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. We'll talk about that, I guess, over the next few days. But
right.
What's the nub of this book?
It's that we as believers have been, in the Western world, have been very subtly duped into believing our world's truth around capitalism, consumerism. You know, I say in the book, the capitalism, fabulous economic engine to grow economies, to grow nations, don't have a problem with that. But at the heart of capitalism is consumerism. At the heart of consumerism is self-absorption and humanism. And ultimately we've subtly shifted over to that, to believing, as the world does, that it's about us and it's not about ultimately what God has called us on earth to do.
That's good. We'll talk again tomorrow.
Okay.
Money has a grip on many a person's life. Instead of being a faithful servant, it becomes a brutal master. Jesus spoke more about our attitudes towards money than on any other subject because he wants to set us free from that. And that's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application e-booklet. It's called Money Matters and it's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you make sure that your wealth becomes the faithful servant it should be rather than the brutal master it can be. And you know, at the end of each chapter, you'll find some life application questions to help you think through and apply God's word right into the realities of your life. To request your free copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that free offer right there towards the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with a different perspective.